Bibles to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Pastor Dave this morning alluded to that song, "What Does the Fox Say?" and that I drive school bus now. And the first day that I drove school bus with nobody else on board with me, it happened to be that we had an overabundance of snow the night before, and it's dark, and you're trying to find the places by yourself, and you're trying to read the directions and drive the bus, and it was snowing something fierce, and I got through the high school run, and I got through the middle school run, and I started getting a little confident what was going on, and I pulled on the Lake Rockwell after off of 14, and the whole bus started going like this. And it's sliding down the thing. I said, here we go. The first time I drive the bus by myself, brand new bus, had 10,000 miles on it. I'm going to put it in a ditch. As we're going down the hill, Charlie starts singing that ring-a-ding-ding-da-ling-ling-ding thing. And we got to the bottom of the hill, and I stopped the bus, and I turned toward him. I don't know what writing up means, but it freaks the kids out to no end if you threaten to write them up. I don't know how to do it, and I don't know what happens. But I turned toward him. I said, Charlie, do you want wrote up? No. So don't ever sing that again. That lasted to the evening when he had the whole bus joining in chorus singing ring-a-ding-ding-da-ding, and the cat says meow and the dog says bark and whatever the song is. Whoever wrote that song is an idiot. But Philippians chapter 4, please, if you could stand for the reading of God's word. Very familiar passage to us all, but in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, my prayer always is, Lord, not to waste anybody's time. And Lord, I know that the weather is supposed to turn for the worse. God, I do not want to waste anybody's time, but Lord, I also don't want to waste the time that's been given to us tonight. Lord, I just do pray that the Holy Spirit would come down and be with us. Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray you would anoint my mind and my heart tonight as I speak. And Lord, whatever is in my heart and mind, Lord, that I would speak, Lord, because I'd want to. Lord, I'd pray you'd take it out. God, I'd pray you'd put everything in my heart and my mind that you would have said. And Lord, I just pray you would get all the glory, honor, and praise for it. In the heavenly name we pray. Amen. I want to turn our attention first to verse number 12, where I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. And that's not saying to be hungry as a physical need to be hungry, but that is saying to be as a spiritual need of hungry. It's saying to be content with what has God given you, but also to hunger for something more, to hunger for something more. And this message might be kind of an echo of what Pastor Dave spoke to us this morning, but what's on my heart. And then, we can draw our attention to a verse that everybody knows in verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I get kind of aggravated every New Year because you always hear of the New Year's resolutions. And by the month of February, all the New Year's resolutions that everybody makes are always broken. Nobody has the character anymore. I'm going to lose weight. And then by the end of the year, you weigh 30 pounds heavier than you did at the beginning of the year. Because your weight loss, it began to weight gain because we did not fall out what we wanted. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to write in a journal every day, but it never happens. And as I began thinking, Pastor Dave called me on the behalf of a preacher to ask me to preach, and I began thinking, this verse has been in my heart all week. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I remember when I was 16 years old, I wanted this pickup truck, and I probably have used it as an illustration before. But this pickup truck meant the world to me. I drove it for a couple years before I bought it, and the lady I worked for put it up for sale, and her father had bought it brand new on December 26th of 1983. It was a 1984 Dodge Ram, and when I bought it, she gave me the check that he paid cash for it, $9,999, tax title out the door. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could buy a pickup truck now for $9,999, tax title out the door? And she decided she was going to sell this pickup truck, and I wanted it really bad, and I wanted it really bad, and I told her I'd buy it, and she changed her mind, and I went on ahead to buy another vehicle. Well, then the next year, she approached me, and she said, "Do you still want that pickup truck?" And I said, "Yeah." And she had taken it, she put $1,500 worth of money into it, then she goes, "Do you want it?" I said, "Yeah, but I can't afford to pay for what you want it now." And she said, "Nonsense." She goes, "I'll take it out of your check when I pay you." I said, "What are you talking about?" I paid $150 for that pickup truck at the end of the day, and I drove it home. It had 40,878 miles on it, and the truck was 20 years old because it was never driven really off the farm. And I drove it across from Ravenna to Lima because we lived there at the time, and I got it home. I drove it a couple months, and I got to the church one day. I went to meet Dad, and I looked underneath the truck, and it looked like a soda pop was pouring down the side of the motor and dripping on the ground. And I pulled the dipstick out, and there was antifreeze in the oil, and there was oil in the antifreeze. And I said, "Dad, what are we going to do?" He said, "You're going to drive it home because we're not paying for a tow truck." I said, what's going to happen?" He said, "It'll make it." I got it home. It was steaming. It was smoking. It was hot. And I said, "Now what are we going to do?" He said, "You're going to fix it." I said, "What do you mean I'm going to fix it?" He said, "I told you the deal was when you bought that truck that you was never going to take it somewhere, that you was going to fix it." Okay. So I had it taken out someplace to somebody we knew. By this time, I got around to it. It was February, and they had a heated facility, and they was on their way to Florida. So I put it in there, and I got that truck. I took the intake off of it and the water pump and the alternator, and I took it all down, and I had a bunch of pieces all over a workbench, and I had a truck with its hood up with this 318 block sitting down in it. And I looked at Dad, and I said, "There's no way in the world I'm going to be able to put that thing back together again." He said, "You took it apart. You can do it." I said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I can't do that." I said, "I'm 16 years." He said, "You can do it." I said, "There's no way." And he said, "Son," and Dad's very passionate, and he said, "Son, you can do it." And we're standing in the garage, and he's looking at me. He said, "Son, you took that truck apart. You wanted that truck, and you can do it." I said, "Dad, there's no way I can do it." He goes, "You can do it." So I put it all back together again, and I'll never forget, it was very late. It was about 11 o'clock at night, and I got it all back together, and I had the key in my hand, and I looked at it, and I said, "God, if this thing doesn't run, I'm going to lose my testimony really bad. So you better make sure this thing runs." I got in it, and I was pumping the gas, and it started to shake, and I was like, "See, I told you I couldn't do it. There's something wrong with it." But finally it all leveled out, and I was happy. I pulled out on the cool road with it. I got half a mile down the road. The temperature gauge went all the way over to hot, and I looked at Dad, and I said, "See, I told you I couldn't do it." Here the water pump had gone bad from oil circulating through it. I pushed that thing. I don't know how far I pushed it. The truck weighed 4,600 pounds or something, and I've never been able to do anything like that in my life. I pushed that thing, and there was a block about that big up into the garage that we had pushed it with the tractor to get up in because we couldn't got in. And I'm not trying to say I'm a macho man. I'm just trying to say I was that mad. And I grabbed hold of its grill, and I just pushed it, and I got it in there, and I took a pipe wrench, and I picked it up, and I was going to go like that and throw it. And Dad grabbed my hand and said, "I told you you could do this. And you're going to do it, and you're going to finish it." I went and got a new water pump, and I put it on that thing, and that's been 7-8 years ago, and I sold that truck to my friend, and it's still going. Why? Because I didn't have the determination to go ahead and do it. But somebody saw something that I could do it, and they encouraged me to do it. And as I read this Bible verse, this is an encouragement from the Lord that no matter what we're going to embark in life, no matter what we're going to do, that we can do it through Him. And I don't want to take a lot of time tonight because I know the weather is supposed to turn bad, but there's just 3 points that I have tonight. In order to achieve something in 2014, first, it's very simple because I'm not complex. We have to decide that we're going to go ahead and do something. It's easy to say, and I know that this is so simple it's stupid, but I think it's what we need tonight. It's easy to think that I'm going to read my Bible through. He said, Pastor Dave talked about that this morning. Well, I can't help it. This sermon was wrote last night before I heard Pastor Dave's message. It's easy to think about reading your Bible, but your Bible's not going to get read until you decide that you're actually going to read it. You know, somebody sent me a text and a couple weeks ago that said, I finished reading my Bible through. It was a couple weeks before. I sat and looked at that text and I sat down and a tear came to my eye because it made me happy. That the church and the Cauldron and Crew class wanted people to read their Bibles, so they bought with their own money Bible reading calendars for people to read. And very nice Bible reading calendar for people to read. And I thought about that, and it's like, if it just one person got to read their Bible through, it was worth it all. But your Bible's not going to get read until you decide to read it. You might think that, you know, it's nice that Brother Mike and all those people go out on Saturday morning soul winning. It's nice that they do that, and, you know, I pay my tithe and give offerings to the church, so things like that could happen. That's good enough. It's not good enough. You say, well, why aren't you there? Because for some reason I thought I was going to be in the clear when I switched jobs, but I've had field trips every Saturday. But it's not. It's easy to think that Brother Mike and all those people can go out soul winning. But what about you? Are you going to decide in 2014 that you're going to tell others more of Christ? Are you going to decide that you're going to pray more in 2014? And Pastor Dave made a comment, I don't know if it was this morning or Wednesday night, and I've really been enjoying, not because he's here, but I've really been enjoying his messages here the last couple weeks. But he made a comment, when you start praying, the first time that you pray for 5 minutes, it seems like you've been praying an hour, and you look up at the clock, it's like, God, did I spend a whole bunch of time with you? And you look at the clock, and it's like, but are you going to decide in 2014 that you need to that you need to spend more time in prayer? One time, I might have told this illustration before, but it fits. One time I asked my dad, and I'm not one of those people just because my dad is something that I think he's the greatest dad and stuff in the world. Anything that I think of somebody is because they've earned that respect for me. They earned that title. One time I asked Dad, I watched him. I said, Dad, how do you do what you do? And he said, what do you mean? I said, I don't understand how you walk with God that the way that you do. I see you pray for things. I've seen the way that you built this church. What are you doing? And he used and I didn't realize what he was doing, but he used an illustration that an old preacher gave a whole bunch of preacher boys years ago. He said, I tell you what. He said, meet me down in the living room at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. And I met him down at the living room at 5 o'clock Monday morning, or the next morning. We got in the car, and he said, drive. And I started driving. And I said, what are you doing? He said, don't talk to me. He said, just drive. I drove for 3 hours from Lima to Marietta, Ohio. We got out of the car on the Ohio River. We sat along the Ohio River, and we watched the barges go down the river. And I said, what are you doing? He said, get up that time at every morning. He said, and spend it with God. He said, you had 3 hours on the way here, and I don't know what you did in your mind. I don't know what you thought about. He said, but you had 3 hours on the way here to do something. He said, what did you do with that time? He said, you're just driving down the road. Did you spend that time wisely? Did you spend it talking with God? Later, he said, it's not 5 o'clock in the morning. That's not the time. He said, but you need to take a time before you start your day. You need to take a time before you do anything else. And I've heard that, and I've heard that, and I've heard that by preacher after preacher after preacher after preacher going up through the years, that you need to take a time before you got up. Russell Anderson said one time that you need to have breakfast with Jesus before you have a physical breakfast. And I've thought about that, and I've thought about that, and I've thought about that, and I failed time and time again. And I wonder why my walk with God isn't the way that it should be. And I wonder why my walk with God, and I wonder why when I pray about something, it doesn't turn out quite right. And I've said this time and time again, too many times we use Jesus as a genie. We use God as a genie. We want to rub the lamp when any time that something goes wrong, something goes the wrong way, we want to rub the lamp and get 3 wishes, and automatically, He's there to help. But in the times when we really don't need something, do we thank Him for it? 2014, are we going to decide to spend more time in prayer? 2014, are we going to decide to attend church services more? I believe you ought to be in every church service. And we always use the excuse, and this is going to tick somebody off, and I'm not saying it to tick somebody off. We always use the excuse, if you're sick or you have to work. If you're sick, you can't be here. But if you have to work, you ever tried to find a job, really, where you could be in church? I know it's not popular preaching. It's going to tick somebody off. But every time that my job told me I had to work, I wasn't being foolish. I didn't go in there and tell them they was idiots. I didn't tell them about anything, but I just started praying about it because I don't believe in it. And all I'm saying is, what is important, more important to you? You say, well, I can't quit my job because of the money. What is more important to you? Really, what is more important? Are you going to be on the couch? Are you going to be at your job during a church service? And what happened if, this is an old illustration, but what happens if the trumpet does sound? And all of a sudden, whatever it sounds like, you're there. God said, I think church service was going on. What was you doing? What was more important to you? And I'm not trying to tick you off, and maybe that is the only job that you can find, and I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying anything against you. That's between you and God and what you do. But what I'm saying in 2014, are you going to do everything that's possible to attend the church service? Are you going to do everything that's possible to be here? Because, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. And 2 Peter, I think it's 2 Peter 1 something. I can't pull it off, but it says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And I got to thinking about that. From what I gather from that, if they wasn't moved by the Holy Spirit, they didn't say nothing. Because they were spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And here, and now don't get me wrong, because it's going to seem contradictory from what I just said. But here we have, in the modern church age that we live in, we have Sunday school, we have Sunday morning, we have Sunday night, Wednesday night. We have selected hours that we come to church. And we get here. And then we have things planned that we do. And then we go throughout the week, and that's the only thing that we use as any spiritual thing. But that verse says they was moved as the Holy Spirit spake to them. I wonder, throughout the week, as we gave allotted time slots for the Holy Spirit to show up. But then we don't do any preparation for the Holy Spirit to show up. And we give allotted time slots, and then when it's over, we can't wait. We're sitting in our chair. We're sitting in our chair, and the invitation's done. We stand up. The invitation's over. We pray, and this is what we do. It's like the Hoover vacuum cleaner, the largest Hoover vacuum cleaner that was ever known to man was on the back doors of Bethel Baptist Church, and you're sucked out, and you go and do something, and you never spend another thought about what happened in the sermon. You never spend another thought of what happened. You never spend another thought if you came to the altar and made a decision. Then we wonder why things aren't happening. We wonder why our hearts isn't being changed. I wonder in 2014 if we're going to decide to take the extra step. It's just all of a decision to decide to do something. Taylor and I make decisions very easily. In our trailer, we decided we was going to paint the walls. We went to Home Depot, or I don't like Home Depot. We went to Lowe's. You can't ever find anybody in Home Depot. You want something done, and it looked like the rapture just happened. You can't find anybody. We went to Lowe's, and We pulled out some paints things, and she goes, do you like that? I said, yep, I do. She goes, I do too. Let's paint it that color. That's our decision. We wanted carpet. I went to a carpet store. I looked at three kinds of carpets. I brought one home. I said, I like this one. She goes, I do too. And we got carpet. We didn't sit there and feel the carpet. We didn't rub it on the sides of our face. We didn't take 38 samples home and say, we don't like any of these, and went back. It was a quick decision. All it is a quick decision to decide that you're going to do something more for Jesus Christ in 2014. Number two, though, once you decide it, you have to determine to get it done. Americans really lack determination anymore. They really do. If you look at education from the United States of America and other countries, America's down here. It used to be up here, but it's down there. Because the American people has lost the determination to want to do something. I hate sports, really, but the Olympics, you like to watch it because you like to see, you know, your country get the golds. We hardly ever get the golds because we're not determined enough to do something. I get irritated and I just want to punch the TV screen because people aren't doing something. You know, that verse says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. All things. Doesn't matter what it is. All things that we do, we need to be determined to do it with everything that we got in us. That's why I love, and when I was a kid, I loved Preacher for the fact when he stood up, when he believed in something, he believed in it with all his heart. There wasn't anything that about Preacher, he doesn't believe in something halfway. If Preacher's going to do something, no matter what we think of it, he believes in it with all his heart. And that taught me something, that don't ever try to do something unless you're not going to put your whole amount of energy in. Preacher believed in everything. And as a young little kid, I used to sit and I used to watch. I know I'm young to you guys, but when I was this high, I used to sit and I used to watch, and he used to scream and he used to preach, and at first it's like, why is that guy so loud? I mean, as a little kid, I was like, watch. It's like, then an evangelist or a missionary or something would come in, they'd never raise their voice. It's like, what's going on here? It's like, this guy doesn't ever raise his voice. You can't ever hear what he's saying. And then you got this guy kicking offering plates off the communion table. One time he picked up the chair Colton was sitting in and threw it across the room, and then he went and put it back, and he said, I just did that so I can throw it again. And I think he did throw it again. And I used to watch what he was doing, but you know, he believed in what he was doing. And we're never going to get anything done, ever. No matter if it's 2014, 15, 16, 2020, whatever year it is, we're never going to get anything done unless we believe in it with all of our hearts. It hasn't been talked about for a long time, and he brought it up this morning, the building out on Infirmary Road. It ain't ever going to get done unless we determine to do it. And I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes this morning, but as going to tonight, but in going to schools for these sporting events, I sit and I get to go to a lot of different schools. Some are dumpy, some are very nice. Well, I was sitting in a really nice one a couple weeks ago, and I was sitting looking around, and I got to thinking, and I got on my phone, and the school had Wi-Fi, and so I started looking on my phone, and I started looking at education statistics compared to the building that I was sitting in. You know one thing? The building never changed anything. It was what was going on in the building. And if we want to see the building out on 8300 Infirmary Road, it ain't going to help anything. It's not going to help anything. The Holy Spirit isn't going to suddenly come down just because we have a new facility out there. If we want something to happen, the Holy Spirit, we're going to have to get a hold of Him here. If we want to see that building built, we're going to have to get hold of Him here. Because why in the world should God bless us if we're not doing what we should be doing here? And you say, are you saying that we're being bad? No, I'm not saying that we're bad, but I'm saying we can do a lot better. And if we want something to happen, if we want to see that building, we're going to have to determine that we're going to get hold of God, and we're not going to stop until we see Him. Say, so you talk about this stuff a lot. Yeah. Because I believe God. Acts 27:25 says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, because I believe God. I believe God. And I believe He can do it. And I believe He wants to do it. But I believe He's waiting on the people of Bethel Baptist Church to decide that they're going to, we've decided that we wanted to do something, but are we going to be determined that we're actually going to fulfill it? Are we determined that we're actually going to do it? Sermon after sermon after sermon is preached about reading your Bible. Sermon after sermon is preached about getting a hold of God. Sermon after sermon is preached about revival and all that stuff. What's going on, though? I agree with him. A lot of things he says, it stirs me because it's things that I think about all the time when I'm by myself and driving down the road. I agree. I am sick of hearing about Billy Sunday. I'm sick of hearing about D.L. Moody. I'm sick of hearing about Charles Spurgeon. I'm sick of hearing about Lee Robinson, Tom Malone. I'm sick of it. They're dead. They're not helping us anymore. Yeah, you might be able to read their books and listen to their sermons, but they're dead. But they do fascinate me because each and every one of them had a relationship with God, where God saw it fit to do something in their lives. You know something about Jack Hiles? He pastored more churches than this First Baptist Church. He pastored four others before it. He started pastoring when he was 19. When he was 20 years old, he built a church clear out in the boondocks from 26 to 300 in 3 years when he was 20 years old. By the time he was 23, it was running 300. He pastored another church for a little over a year and doubled in attendance. Then he went to another church, Miller Road in Garland, Texas. It had 44 members. He said he pushed the attendance until they hit 700. Then after they hit 700, they hit 1,000 people. He said he couldn't handle it anymore. and he was going to resign, and the Holy Spirit got a hold of him and told him not to. He said he never pushed one more time for attendance. He never did anything. He said, but then they hit 2,000 people, and it was too big, and he wanted to resign again. He said, but the Holy Spirit got a hold of him. He said, then they hit 3,000 people, and he said it was really too big, and he didn't want it. This is in the 50s. This bus kids wasn't involved with this. This is people getting in their cars and driving to church in a town of 20-some hundred people. One in seven of them at that time attended his church. There was no other big cities around. He said they hit 4,000 people. He said, and God ripped the roof off of their building. He said it was flooded and everything. Brand new building, they just built it, and the roof got blown off. He said, and that morning he was preaching about Elijah in the whirlwind and how God answered Elijah in the whirlwind, and he started thinking about a whirlwind, and he started thinking about the tornado that blew the roof off, and he decided he was going to stay. But not only up to that church hit 40-some hundred people in attendance. Only one time he pushed up to 700. And then something happened. Whatever happened intrigues me. And that's why I still think about those people. You say, are you trying to say, Brother Bill, that something's not going right at Bethel because we don't run that many people? No, it's not in the numbers. I don't believe in numbers. I'm pushing for numbers and changing things for numbers, and I don't believe in success on numbers. But I do believe in Ravenna, Ohio right now at 745 North Freedom Street. I do believe the people can do a little bit more. I believe that this building can be full every service. I believe that. You say you can't run more than 80% in capacity. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The Holy Spirit shows up. I don't think people's going to care about physical room on what they can get in. I've read story after story, and I get mad and irritated at the same time, but my heart starts burning about churches years ago having to have their windows open because there was chairs on the outside because people couldn't get in. They used to try to go see Charles Spurgeon to go to his church, Metropolitan Baptist Tabernacle in England. They had to pay a bridge fare to get over to the church. They had to actually physically pay to get to the church, but people still did it week after week, week after week, week after week, and there was people at the doors of that church held 7,000 people. This back in the 1800s, before air conditioning, before heating that was efficient or anything, in hard wooden pews and buildings that you, when you sat in the back, that they said he was about this big and you could barely hear him. They had ushers at the back doors declining people after the church hit 7,000 people. You couldn't get in it anymore, but people stood on the steps of the Metropolitan Baptist Tabernacle because Charles Spurgeon was doing something and they wanted to hear about it. They wanted to hear about the message he was preaching. They wanted to see what made him tick. And week after week, year after year, they went to that church to see him. And thousands upon 10,000 upon 10,000 of people filed past his casket because they just wanted to see the man that did something in England. After his body was dead, they wanted to see him. Do we long for that? I know this isn't a popular sermon, but in 2014, are we going to get that burning that those people had back in their hearts back then to see God do something? Are we going to wait till the rapture happens or till we die and see what we could have done? See what could have happened. See what could have happened with our lives. Thirdly, we need to decide, we need to determine, and we just got to do it. Three simple points: decide, determine, and do it. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I think and ponder at the verse that we can move a mountain with the faith of a grain of a mustard seed. I don't understand that. I can't take that and Pastor Dave talks that he had the faith when we went and anointed a preacher with oil and read the verses to him. I have to be honest. I went in there in that room and I looked. And I had been in room after room after room with my dad as a pastor. Dad got to the point where he was pretty good. He'd walk in and he'd walk out and he said, I don't think that they're going to make it. 9 times out of 10, the next day we got a phone call. That was it. I walked in that room and I looked at him and I trembled and I took Pastor Dave's Bible that he handed me. I was the first one in the room and I read that verse. I got down beside of his bed. We wasn't allowed to touch his hands, but I grabbed his leg through the sheet, and I anointed him with oil, and I prayed, and I got up, and I told him I loved him. I walked out because I thought I was never going to see him again. Because I didn't have, I didn't have the faith that something was going to happen. I thought God was going to take him home. But somebody decided something, that we was going to go to the hospital that day. And all of us determined to go in there. And then we did it. And I didn't have the faith it was going to happen. But it was just a couple days later, wasn't it, where we got the phone call that they pulled the ventilator out of him and he was breathing and he was talking. And it was a couple weeks later he rode in a wheelchair down this aisle. And I said it.
Something in 2014 that we've never done before. Sunday school teachers, you need to preach with more passion than you've ever preached before. You need to study harder than you've ever studied before. Bus workers, you need to work harder than you've ever had before. Everybody in here that's doing something needs to do it harder, because we're getting closer and closer to the time of his coming.
Amen. Yep.
Occupy till he comes. Not untedious work, but work. Work hard. Do something. Do something for God. And I'm almost done. I'm glad God moved me back to this church. I love this church with all my heart. But when he moved me back, I didn't quite understand what was going on. But the lessons I've learned and the thing that God's taught me since being here has been worth it all. I love each and every one of you with all my heart. I'm only saying it for this reason. When I prepare a sermon, I told my dad one time, I want to preach. I said, Dad, my heart's not right. When I'm going to preach, I know that it's not right. And I if I ever felt that way again, I believe that verse in 2 Peter, that holy men of God spake as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. I would never get up behind this pulpit if I didn't think what I was preaching was from the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying that I'm perfect, and there's many times that I'll probably get in the flesh throughout the sermon, but I don't ever prepare a sermon thinking that this person needs this and this person needs this. I don't ever think that. I just want to see Bethel Baptist Church do something for God.
Yep.
And I hate New Year's resolutions,
yep.
But we do have a clean slate if you want to look at it that way. Push it all aside. Pastor Dave brought a great message about the good things that happened last year. As we go through 2014, don't let the bad things get you down, because there's going to be bad things. Taylor and I went through some things last year that I never want to go through again, but I've used them for lessons, and we used them to go on for God, and there was times where I just wanted to quit, there was times I wanted to throw up my hand, and there was times that I didn't understand what God was doing, but I'm glad that people helped me out. I'm glad that God got me through it, and I look forward to 2014, and I don't want to have to get up in 2015 and keep encouraging us to do something. I just want to keep encouraging and honest for what we've done. To go forward for God. I don't know what else would I would do if God didn't call me to preach. There's something that burns in my heart that I don't really understand what it is. But until that fire dies out, I'm always going to have a fire in my soul to do something for God. I'm always going to raise my voice to encourage people to do things for God. I'm going to warn of sin, and I'm going to keep preaching as hard as I can. Because when I get to God, when I get to heaven and I stand before God, I want to say, I know I'm not going to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, but I at least want to say I did what I could. I tried, I preached with all my heart, and I tried to encourage the people to do something for God. You say you keep preaching almost the same sermons over and over. It's what God lays on my heart. I'm going to keep preaching them until it happens. When it happens, I'm just going to keep preaching to keep going on. Tonight, decide to do something for the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Determine that you're going to do it. And then just do it. It's hard. The first time I read my Bible through, I read it just so my dad wouldn't look bad, because I thought I was the pastor's kid and I needed to read it through. I didn't get anything out of it because I read it for somebody. Next time I read it through drudgingly, because I just wanted to say that I finished it. But the next time, I fell in love with it.
Amen.
And I read it because I wanted to. I didn't read it so I could check a check mark off. I read it because I couldn't put it down. And there was days that I couldn't put it down. Dr. Hiles always said, read it till your heart burns, and I believe in that. I know that there's times when that's not going to happen, but I would read it, and in the next few years, I didn't even use a stinking calendar because my heart would start burning, and I'd start reading. And I'm not saying that to boast, but I'm saying don't read it just to check the calendar off. You'll get more out of it. And in 2014, determined to do something, and just do it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, it was just a short little charge, but God, I believe that's what you put on my heart. God, I just pray, Lord, that Bethel Baptist Church would just go forward for God. God, it's done a lot of things, and Lord, it's years, Lord, sitting on this corner. God, I just want to see it more, Lord. If I'm going to be a part of it, Lord, I want to see it do something. Lord, and I'm not saying it hasn't, Lord, you know my heart, but I just want to see it do more. God, what a great church it is. Lord, what thank you for what it stands for. But God, I just do pray in 2014 that you would help us go forward. Lord, the ones that might have not read the Bibles through, but Lord, that tried, Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd give them the extra strength, Lord, to read through. The ones that doesn't walk with God, or none of us do, but Lord, the ones that doesn't pray, Lord, like they want to, Lord, help them. Lord, in everything that was decided this year, Lord, I pray, Lord, that not one resolution or whatever you want to call it that's not broken. But God, I pray, Lord, Bethel Baptist Church would go forward for the cause of Christ this year. Lord, just be with this invitation time. In the heavenly name we pray. Amen.
The key of any and all messages that you folks have to understand is preachers don't preach at you. Preachers preach because that's what the Lord tells them to preach. And it's generally because we're messing up. It's generally because that's what the Lord wants us to know. And I tried to explain that a little bit this morning. The fire that's burning in our hearts to do something great for God is because we've got a church that can do great things for God. We want that to happen because I would, in my opinion, I would love to show the world that God can still do great things. I mean the world. I believe God showed this church that he can do great things. I don't think there's a person in here that would disagree with that. But I want to show the world. I want to show the world that we can run the same big, fat, huge numbers and still praise the Lord and serve the Lord in the old paths, in the old ways, the way God would have us to serve him. To do that, it's not going to be done by just one person. It's going to be done by individual people working together to get that done. We're all going to have to make changes in our lives. Not one person in any of the messages that were preached, even in the recent past, not one person is exempt from this. Every person needs to get closer to the Lord this year because I want to see great things. Now, if you want to just stay here and you're willing to use the status quo, you're willing to come and just enjoy the singing and watch people sweat and spit and scream and do those type of things, then, you know, God bless you. But that's not what I want. I don't believe that's what the Lord wants. I believe the Lord wants our lives to change. Forget the numbers. I believe the Lord wants our individual lives to change. Starting with me and Preacher, and Bill and Bob and Rod and every person under the sound of my voice. We all need to get closer to the Lord. We all need to make changes in our lives that get us closer to the Lord. This year, in 2014, I don't know what you're going to do, but I want to determine, after the decisions that I have made in my life, I want to determine to do them, and I want to do them. This year, I want to become a better Christian. To do those things, you've got to get closer to the Lord, and nobody can do it for you. Only you can do it for you. You want revival? Get closer to the Lord. If we all do that, we'll have revival. Amen? I believe, in my opinion, that was a wonderful challenge tonight. I believe, in my opinion, that these things could change lives. But you know what? It's not going to be the message. Won't be. It'll be you that changes your life and letting the Lord work in your heart. It is up to the person sitting in your pew, not up to the people behind this pulpit. It's up to you. Dear Lord, I thank you for a wonderful night. Lord, I pray that everyone gets home safely. Lord, I pray that there's nothing wrong with Alicia physically. I pray that there's nothing wrong with the baby. Lord, I pray that everything goes well in that direction. Lord, I pray for my pastor. I pray for my mother-in-law and my wife and my son. Lord, please be with them. All the sick folks, that there's so many of them. Lord, please be with them. Lord, make this year different. Lord, please make this year different in my life. Make me have a greater desire to win souls, a greater desire to get close to you, a greater desire to pray, a greater desire to give of myself. Lord, I'm asking for me because I'm the only one that can ask for me. And the Lord, help me to do it. Help me to follow through. Lord God, help me to follow through. And Lord, please let this church catch a fire. Oh God, we've got the truth here. I know that. I know that we're doing the right things. Lord, help us to do more of them. Lord, be with us tonight and be with this invitation. I pray these things in Jesus' name.